Last Tuesday night, I had the privilege of moderating a discussion at Aurora University with two justices in the Illinois Supreme Court, Justice Ann Burke and Justice Rita Garman. The subject was about women in leadership, and I asked Justice Garman, who is from Danville, about how she got into the law, and then I asked the same question from Justice Burke. They both found the law in very different ways. Let's start with Justice Garman.
I knew from an early age that I wanted to be a lawyer. Why? I have no idea.
TV?
TV was a new thing back in the day. But I just thought it was a great profession. I thought it offered a great number of choices, what you could do. You could, be a transactional lawyer. You could work for a corporation. You could work in education. I couldn't have dreamed I would ever ended up where I am. Because when I went to college and then went to law school, that was in the 60s. And people just women did not go to law school.
Well, I was going to say, so, and Iowa has a noted law school program.
Yes, yes.
How many women?
Five women and 160 men. And when I went to law school, and I said I was going to law school, people said to me, why does a nice girl like you want to do something like that? Truth, they do. And they said, well, why don't you get married and send your husband to law school? And I said, because I want to go to law school. He can go too, but I want to go. And so I went to law school. And I got to law school, and I encountered some of the professors that said, what are you doing here? You're taking up a seat a man could have. You'll never practice law. You're not really serious. You're here to catch a husband. I had already caught him, but that was But at any rate, they were just incredible. So I went through law school as, one of very, very few women. And then I got out and I found out they weren't very accepting of women in the practice of law. I had potential job interviews where they said things to me like, well, what would we do with you? No one wants to talk to a woman. Can you type? Can you make coffee? We don't need a clerk, or we can't afford that. And so I wanted to be a lawyer, but here I was a lawyer, and I couldn't find a job when I got out of law school. So I actually found my first job by luck, because my husband and I had moved to Danville, where he was with a law firm, and I was looking for a job, encountering all these barriers. People would say to me, well, how can you be a lawyer? Your husband's a lawyer. And then they would say, well, wouldn't you go home and talk to your husband about the cases? And I said, well, not any more than he's going to come home and talk to me about his cases. But it was just a time when they just couldn't understand a woman in that profession. So in looking around for a job, I lucked out, because the legal aid director in Danville, it was a one-person office, got into a disagreement with the board, and he walked out. And they didn't have anybody, and they were in danger of closing. And the chairman of the legal aid board called me up and said, I'd been in Danville about 2 months at that point. He said, well, would you come down and keep the doors of the legal aid office open? And I said, well, what do I know about running a law office? I just got out of law school. He said, well, if you'll come down there, we'll help you if you get into anything you don't know how to do, or how to handle it. So I went to the legal aid office, and I began the practice of law, and did it like you learn to ride a bike. You just do it. And I found that the people that came to legal aid certainly didn't care that I was a woman. They certainly didn't care that I was young. They were just delighted to have somebody to talk to and to help them and to work through
the problem. And be an advocate.
And be an advocate for them. So that's how I started. And as I practiced law, I think I gained credibility with the bench and bar. And after about 6 months of legal aid, it didn't close. And one day the state's attorney came into the legal aid office and said, I'd like you to come to the state's attorney's office to handle the family cases. And that's how many women integrated into the practice of law. You know, do the juveniles, non-supports, parentage cases, and that sort of thing. And that was a permanent job. So I went to the state's attorney's office. I hadn't even been able to get in the door of the state's attorney's office for an interview when I got there, because they told me they weren't hiring, and they weren't hiring women. So that was how that all came about. So you just keep your head down and keep on going.
Now, Justice Burke, you came to the law later in life. You started as a teacher. You helped children with disabilities. You worked for the Chicago Park District, and you founded the Special Olympics. And that's all great achievements in their own right. So then, what brought you to the law?
Well, first of all, I was a college dropout in 1963. The school that I went to actually is a sister school of Aurora. I went to George Williams College when it was in Hyde Park and emerged in went to move to Downers Grove. So in 1962, I went to your college to be a phys ed teacher, and I dropped out. I didn't go back to college until I was married and had three children. So that was in the 70s. But it was my husband who suggested that I go back and get my teaching degree. He kind of gave me a guilty complex because he said, you don't have your college degree, and if something happens to me, what are you going to do? So he encouraged me to go back to college with three little kids, not the way to do it. But I did, and I went to DePaul University School of Human Learning. We had our fourth child, and he started asking me about, you know, the program that I was teaching with kids with mental disabilities. I had all this experience, and he started saying to me, you know, you'd be a better advocate for people with disabilities and the more vulnerable, that you're passionate. Why don't you become a lawyer? But he forgot about the fact that I've been a C student or less my whole life. All through grammar school, all through high school, and it was the one year that I went to George Williams College that the professor, during a research project, he had how many basketball free throws you could do under hypnosis and how many you could do without being hypnotized. I did more under hypnosis, by the way. But the exercise he gave us was under hypnosis, stand at the front of the chalkboard, write your name and your age, age 18, my name, and it went all the way down to 5. And when I was awake, I had started writing my name right to left. It was all backwards. And he told me I had a perceptual handicap. So that was the first time I realized why I was a bad student. I took reading for, I had to read everything twice. I couldn't do math. I couldn't transpose numbers. So dropping out of college was actually a good thing, because if I had finished another year in science, I would have flunked out of college. But when I did go back, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did really well. And then I decided, through his suggestion, to take a law school onto his exam. I did okay. So when I entered law school at IIT Kent, there were about 20% of women who were in my class, which was interesting. But they were retreads like myself, women who had other careers, other areas, who went back to school. So we were kind of off to the side. There were some younger students. So that 20% of my class, so I didn't graduate from law school until I was over 40.
We'll have more of my conversation with Illinois Supreme Court Justices Ann Burke and Rita Garman. Good Sunday morning. April 1st, Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. As I said earlier last week, I had the privilege of moderating a discussion at Aurora University with Illinois Supreme Court Justices Ann Burke and Rita Garman about women in leadership. And in our conversation, I also brought up the renewed rise of the women's movement in the United States, as well as the hashtag MeToo movement. So I asked the Supreme Court justices, did you ever have a Me Too moment? Here's Justice Ann Burke, followed by Justice Rita Garman.
I don't really Me Too moment, if that's what you want to call it now, an aggressive situation. I was able to deflect it, walk away from it, and tell whoever it was, lighten up, you know, like get out of here, or whatever it was. I never really did, but I think those Me Too moments do occur in the workplace, and they have, for me, as even a, you know, a more mature woman in the law practice, where, you know, they think they could be a little more familiar, and I just tell them to lighten up and walk away. So, but I haven't really had the kind of Me Too moments that I've read about and heard about myself.
I've not had any that go to the level of the most notorious. But I certainly did have some experiences where I thought conduct was inappropriate, and I called the person on it immediately and deflected it and got away from that from that situation. No, does that sort of thing exist? I hear about that from women in the throughout society, but from women in the practice, I do hear about it.
And here again, another issue that seems to be part of the evolution and how, I mean, I remember my first year covering Springfield was 1982, and that was the year of the Equal Rights Amendment. And Illinois was one of the last states with the pressure on to adopt it, which it did not do. But we have this great resurgence in women's rights, and I'm just curious what your view is of now, you know, as part of this evolution from where you came from.
Well, you know, personally, I think it's long overdue. I don't think that I don't think you should have to put up with that kind of conduct. That's nonsense. And I do believe that for generations, it's not been considered very important. Maybe because women weren't, was involving women, and people thought that's the way you should treat women. Hopefully, we're past that.
Justice Burke.
Well, just like Justice Garmon said about her history, she wasn't treated equally. She took the bar exam and wanted to get a job, and she wasn't able to get the kind of job she thought she should be able to get. I mean, and that is in our work in the present time, just like Justice Smith Murrow. She was told she couldn't argue in the Illinois Supreme Court. She worked on the case, she tried the case, she should be able to do it and get equal pay, and that hasn't happened. And I think that that's the kind of thing that we have to rise up for. The first woman lawyer in Illinois was Myra Bradwell. She applied for to take the bar, many years ago, but the Illinois Supreme Court, our male colleagues that went ahead before us, told her she could not be a lawyer in Illinois because she was married, a married woman. In other words, she was a chattel.
When women were chattel for hundreds of years.
It was a very fascinating discussion with Justices Ann Burke and Rita Garmon, and just about kind of the history of their lives, their professional lives at a time when women weren't really accepted into the legal profession like other professions, but also just as well a great discussion about the evolution of the law as they've seen it in regards to women's rights. And I want to thank Aurora University for inviting me out there to host that discussion. It's among several that I've done with the university, part of their Town Square series. But it was just even though it's their Your Honors, it was my honor to be part of that conversation.